Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
Hello everyone, this is Brad Larson, host of the Property Management Mastermind Podcast. To see a complete list of the offers and discounts we have worked to provide, visit our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. In there, you will find additional discounts from Tenant Turner, Citizen Home Solutions, PMW Websites, and several others. Also, be sure to check out our Seminar and Conferences tab, where we highlight different conferences going around the country, business and property management related. Lastly, be sure to seek out the Facebook group we have started and become a member. In that group, the PM community at large, to include vendors, are welcome to join. Hello, everyone. We wanted to offer you a brief introduction to our newest product on the PropertyManagementMastermind.com site. It's called the Business Development Toolkit. In 2017, RentWorks organically grew by over 360 plus homes. In 2018, we are on pace to grow another 500 homes. All of this has been without any acquisitions by going out to meet the people and earn the business one at a time. This toolkit will provide you all the marketing materials, business development scripts, and follow-up plans in a format you can modify and use. The biggest part of this toolkit is we give you the Lead Simple follow-up plan. Now, using Lead Simple as your contact resource management platform, combined with implementing our follow-up plan, will give you a launching pad to build your business. This was over 2 years in the making, pulling bits and pieces from the best companies in the industry. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied with this product. Check out our site at propertymanagementmastermind.com to learn more about this new business development toolkit. Hello, everybody. In today's episode, we have Mark Cunningham here on the line, and we're going to be talking with him from Denver. And he is a guy that goes out and speaks quite a bit at the NARPM conferences, and he travels across the country and teaches a lot of things with the property management growth system that he has. And we're going to be talking about growth specifically and ancillary business services, which is a fancy catch-all word for potentially business maxing or fee maxing. And this is something that's a hot topic because oftentimes we get caught up in just only charging potentially management fees. There's lots of other value-add services that you can implement into your systems to, one, offer a better service for what you do, and two, generate some revenue from that so you can reap the benefits there. So great conversation with Mark, and let's have a listen. And welcome everybody to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm your host, Brad Larson, and today's guest, I have Mark Cunningham. He is a repeat guest. However, I think I could get him on the show and talk for hours and hours and hours. He and I think alike. He's got a lot of things to offer the management community. He's been a speaker for numerous years, speaking at different events associated through property management. I'm very excited to have him on. Mark, how are you today?
I am fabulous, Brad. Thanks for having me back.
Appreciate you coming on because I know we have a lot to talk about. And we're going to try and choke it down to something really that everybody can use. And we wanted to talk about maximization, business practices. And there's lots of terms we can throw out there. You and I already debated what term to use, but what we want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the folks who may not have heard you before, and then we can dive into some of the good stuff.
Yeah, the quick background on me is I'm from Denver, got a real estate property management company here in Denver that my dad started back in 1978. So we've been around about 40 years, and we do real estate management, we do sales, we've got a team of about 18 folks. We buy ourselves, we invest, so we follow the opportunity. That's kind of our mantra. And so we've been doing that for quite some time. I also do a fair amount of traveling and speaking to different property management and real estate groups. I do some one-on-one coaching. So I'm fortunate enough to be able to get out of the office. I've built up the business to an extent that I don't have to work in the business all the time. Can get out and do some other things and really focus on making the business the best it can be.
So to jump on that, we have some of your products on our website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. They've been very successful. The folks that find those and engage with you and get those products, I believe they've had some real value. So that's also on there. And I think that's a good place for people to learn about you. Either go to your website directly or go to ours and find you. But they've been very popular. And I do a commercial for you. And I recommend what you put out because I think it's very solid products. And let's also circle back into potentially talk about your management company a little bit more just to give people more scale and understanding of who you are, what you do, because everybody wants to know how long you've been in business, what's the size of your company, what's your plans for expansion, kind of where you are. That would be some good stuff to hear about.
Yeah. So we never wanted to be the biggest. Got no plans to be the biggest, but we've always wanted to be one of the best. And what we found over years is that as you focus on being good, the growth comes. You know, I think growth is it's a result of being really good at what you do. So today we've got about 800 doors under management, residential and commercial both. We've got a team of 18 folks, which a lot of, it's interesting because some people say, gosh, that sounds overstaffed. You've got too many people. See, I view my people as profit centers. Every time we hire somebody on, they're going to go out and make us more money. So I'm a firm believer that if I could find 18 more rock stars, I'd go hire 18 more people because every one of them would be a profit center, not a cost.
No, you're spot on with that size because we're right at approaching 900 homes and we have 17 full-time employees with building out a couple more as we speak. So, I mean, in another month or two, we'll probably be at 18, 19. So it's right there. We're right there with you. And I think your mindset of having them as a profit center is ideal because they are a big part. We call them team members. I don't really call them employees. We all get the job done together. Parlaying that into something I want to talk about is why we have you on the show now to talk about what you want to talk about is I've seen you speak at the NARPM events, PM Growth Summit, et cetera. And you were talking specifically about value add products, maximizing business efforts. Some would call it fee maximization. That's the stuff that was just raved over. I mean, people were like lining up to hear those speeches. And sometimes they only gave you like a sliver of time. They should have given you a pie of time. So this is where we want to make up for some of that. And just a tidbit, doesn't have to be the whole thing, but you know, we can kind of go down that road and talk about anything that you feel is super appropriate for this.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I get to do when I travel and speak to groups is I hear feedback from a lot of PMs. And I know that profitability is one of the hot topic items because it's hard for a lot of PM companies to achieve profitability. It's just tough. And we can be really good at property management, but that doesn't mean we're going to be good at making money in this business. And for many years, we were the management fee only company. That's what we charged. We had our management fee. That's all we charged. We were proud of that. We were very, very proud of the fact that that's the way we did business. That's how we attracted clients. And I remember very vividly one day being on the phone with a prospective client. She was thinking of hiring us. And she said, well, what do you charge for a leasing fee? And I said, oh, ma'am, we don't have a leasing fee. You just pay us a management fee. We do that. And she said, oh, well, do you charge an inspection fee? No. We do inspections for you free of charge, ma'am. And so she went through all these other things. And I said, no, we just do it for you. She said, you know, I think you're the only company in Denver that's doing that. And so suddenly my false pride melted away. And I thought, maybe I'm not as smart as I think I'm doing. So the next thing we started doing was having a leasing fee. And what we found out that by focusing on income, we could utilize that income coming into the business to make the business better. So I think it's very important that, you know, people remember that profitability isn't just like a greed thing. It's not I want to squeeze every penny and nickel and dime out of my clients. It's I want to make my company the best it can be. I want to go hire the best people I can be. And good people aren't cheap. You know that and I know that. And to run your business well, I think you have to be profitable. I think we have a moral obligation to be profitable. Now, what we use those profits for may make us greedy, but if we use them wisely, if we use them to grow the business, if we use them to reward our team members, that's where it really snowballs in a positive way. So that profit is really a byproduct of a job well done.
Talk to us about some of the mindset items that you would touch on in this topic.
So I think, and I know there's a big, there's a lot of talk and well, should you be a management fee only company or not? And we're of the belief that the management fee pretty much pays the bills, right? I was reading an article not too long ago on Southwest Airlines, and it said that Southwest Airlines, when they sell a ticket, at best, and it's at best, they break even on the cost of the flight for what the individual pays, but more often than not, they're losing money. And you think, well, how can that be? Southwest is an incredibly profitable company. Well, what Southwest realizes and what most industries, other than the real estate industry, have realized is that you have to have ancillary business services. And that term, ancillary business services, doesn't mean a lot to us in the property management world, but it means a lot to people in the general business world because that's where the profit is really derived. And the idea of an ancillary business service is simply, it's like an add-on service, a secondary bonus service that companies offer to their clients, and that's where a lot of the profit comes from. So if you look at Southwest Airlines, I fly them all the time. And when I book my flight online, I have the options to rent a car with Southwest Airlines through their website. Now, if I rent that car, you know, they get a piece of that, right? I mean, they get a piece of that action. If I go to Chase and I do my banking and I use my Chase credit card, Chase gets a piece of that. So most companies understand ancillary business services no matter what they're doing, but the PM business doesn't understand it very well. And one other quick example on that, my son's got a lawn mowing company. And so I go out with my son every Saturday. He's 13 years old. We mow a bunch of lawns. He wanted to make some money. And he said, "Dad, this is great. Like I'm mowing lawns. I'm making money. Let's double down on the lawns we mow, Dad. Let's mow more lawns so I can make more money." I said, "Son, I'm tired. Dad's already mowing with you 5 hours every Sunday. I can't do that. But I'll tell you what are some other services we can offer to your existing clients that they might want to pay for?" And so he started thinking and said, "Well, we could mow some, or we could pull some weeds. That's a great idea. That's an ancillary business service. We could pull some weeds and we could fertilize. There you go. We could pick up dog poop." So now we've got our same client base, but now we're also fertilizing their lawns. We're pulling some weeds. We're picking up after their dogs. We're making ancillary business services. The same group of clients. Our clients are happier because we're providing more services to them. My son's happier. He's making more money. The only one that's not happier is me because I'm actually picking up dog poop now on Sundays in my neighbor's yard, but that's another story. So it's that idea that I think we can bring into the property management space on what other types of things can we offer to our clients. And you know, the most obvious one that most PM companies do that we all can buy into is the idea of leasing, right? Most PM companies have separated, hey, when leasing is a separate function than property management. So we're going to charge a fee for the leasing we do. There's still a handful of companies out there that roll the leasing into it. But if we buy into that idea around other types of services, the same way we buy into it on leasing, of, hey, I'm going to provide a higher level of service on my leasing, I'm going to do better marketing, and I'm going to charge a fee for this leasing service. So that, I mean, to us, that's a pretty substantial, and that's a slam dunk one that a lot of folks are doing on the leasing.
So a couple of things I want to add in there is, was listening to a podcast with Jordan Moyla and Annie Props just recently. Annie was talking about the business ratio and the numbers that he looks at with Home River Group. And at his location in Idaho, his management fees, this is a direct quote, third party, his management fees could not cover his payroll. So he has to charge ancillaries. And they're looking at a 50-50 to 30-70 ratio. Half might be management fees, half might be ancillary business services fees, up to as much as 30 to 70 in that rotation. Quite interesting. So the other thing I want to throw in there is, I kind of feel there's the big three that you got to have mastered. One is management fees, two is leasing fee, and three is going to be your renewal fee. And so those three big things are the tip of the spear, the biggest thing that you can get in there and charge, because that's going to go to the aggregate right away. It's going to go to the scale right away. The other things are going to fall in line with that, but we can focus on the big three right off the bat. So manager fees, clearly they need to do, people need to do some secret shopper work. They need to look around their market and they need to see what's being charged from the competition around there. It does not mean a thing to be the cheapest in town. Right? That does not get you anywhere on the management fees. It's kind of a cry for help. It's going to be where the C-class landlords are going to flock to you, the ones that will wear you out and get you to want to leave this business faster. So the management fees are going to be something secret shopper. Leasing fees, some of the techniques there that are really working is, one, figure out again, secret shopper, what you need to be paying out in leasing fees. Who's going to be paying for that leasing fee? And how you cannot pay a leasing fee by using third-party services like Tenant Turner and doing unaccompanied vacant home showings. If you're not paying out a leasing fee, that's saving money. I mean, it's almost like clipping a coupon. So that's another thing. And of course, the renewal fees, justifying a renewal fee being charged fairly could be easy, in my opinion, because if you signed a lease renewal for $1,000 a month for the next 12 months, you just made that owner $12,000. If that was a commercial lease, what would you be charging?
Yeah.
Commercial guys charge an enormous amount for a renewal.
And commercial guys charge, so we do a fair amount of commercial property management. And what the biggest eye-opener for us when we started doing commercial is, it's very normal and standard in the commercial world to back charge everything. So if the property management company in the commercial world incurs an expense, they're going to bill the client for that expense. If they stick a stamp on an envelope, the cost of that stamp is coming back to the PM company. Oftentimes, if they've got to drive out to the property or send somebody out to the property to inspect something, to check landscaping, the owner is going to expect to see an invoice for the gas that they spent to go out to the property. Everything is backbilled. That's just the way the commercial world works. We don't do that in the residential world, and we can't do all of it. But that idea, we can bring that idea over into the residential world. And even as it relates to management fees that you brought up a minute ago, you know, one of the things that we do every year is when we get to the end of the year, we go through our list of clients and we take out those clients that are more difficult or they have difficult properties. And we're going to take those management fees and we're going to tweak those fees accordingly to make it worth our time, to make it worth our effort. And we've been doing this for many, many years. And what we found is that owners don't leave. Owners don't want to leave you, if they, especially the ones that know they're a pain, because they don't want to go bother somebody else. So even little tweaks to your management fee can have a big increase on your net income. And we encourage people as well, you know, don't be afraid of that half point increase. If someone's at a 10% management fee, and let's pretend they take that to 10.25, right? I mean, that's a very small increase. But when you run the numbers, what does that do as a percentage basis of your management fee income over the course of a year? That's going to have some significant increase to your income. So those little tweaks on a scale make a huge, huge difference. And I think it does start with management fee. We can be more aggressive in our management fees, especially with our existing clients.
Mm-hmm. The big three. Those are what I firmly believe in as far as any sort of business maximization is, you got to start there.
So let me ask you a question. Do you have, you do maintenance. So if we're labeling our big three, my number two after management fee would be maintenance.
Of course.
How does that play out for you?
Great topic of discussion there. Turning maintenance into at least a revenue generating source, man, it's night and day. You got to do it. There's no doubts about it. I know a property management company. I don't want to name any names, but let's just say they are fairly similar to your and I size, and they do not charge for maintenance. They don't charge their vendors any sort of preferred vendor discount, and they're getting zero from coordinating maintenance. And you look at the numbers, literally, they could make over $150,000 to $200,000 more overnight by simply doing a preferred vendor discount and potentially charging their vendors a little bit extra to do business through them. However, they're getting, those vendors love it because they're being guaranteed the business. So it's a win-win for both. And we do the preferred vendor discount. It works well for us because we use third parties. But some folks may want to start their own maintenance company and do all that in-house. And there's a lot of stuff to be made there. There's a lot of reasons to do that. Maintenance is a huge part of it. But I definitely think someone should be making something off of it, because who's the liability on? The liability is all on the property management company owner. The general liability insurance, as soon as you call a vendor, and even if you just make one phone call to one vendor and they go out to the property, you're now acting as a general contractor.
That's right. Yeah,
so you need to be charging on the maintenance side for sure. I was thinking more along the lines of the big three with those, the revenue side on that. The maintenance is, I mean, that's because that's recurring. When I'm talking about recurring, you know, they're going to sign a lease agreement. You know, they're going to have leasing fees, you're going to have management fees, you're going to have a renewal fee, right? Those are big three recurring. The maintenance is always kind of the flux. Some homes might get one work order a month, one work order a year, but it's a fluctuation. At least you're going to have the make readies that are turnovers are going to be something that you could do there as well. So mentioning those big things, let's just kind of get an idea from your numerous travels out and about into the PM world. Kind of where are the cool idea fees and cool idea ancillary business services that you've seen that are just stuff we got to talk about? Maybe a top five, top three around?
Well, and another big one that I hope people are thinking about is sales. You know, whether you're doing sales for your clients or not, at least you're referring those things out, because that should be a significant amount of income for any PM company.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that. Now you get me fired up, because you know, sales is that's a big thing. I've seen management company owners that do some sort of 50-50 split with some other real estate company, and it just baffles me. I'm like, why are you giving that all away? You could hire an agent or $4,000 a month, $48,000 a year, and create $200,000 worth of revenue versus giving that away to an agent. I said, are they giving you referrals back? Well, no, not really. They're just giving them business. It's absolutely baffling. And then another thing is they're not actively marketing to the folks in their inventory. So when those folks decide to sell, they're going to Johnny Remax and Sally Coldwell Banker versus coming to you. And that's just like, that person should be dragged out and hung. They should not be letting those sales go out the door. And now you got me fired up. You talk sales, you know, I'm stealing your thunder. You need to jump in here.
Well, we do a fair amount of sales as well. This past month, we hit what we always call the trifecta in a sale. So one of our current owner clients came to us. They said they wanted to sell. We called one of our other current owner clients. They wanted to buy a property. So we brokered both sides of the deal. We're the buyer's agent, or the seller's agent, and we retained the management of that property. So those don't happen real often, But those, that's what we strive for, right? I mean, if we could do that on a regular basis, you do a couple of deals like that, and that'll change your financial year. But those should be done. We should be doing those all day long. Every time a client contacts your office, as whoever you are as a property manager, and says, I'm thinking about selling. Number one, I think the first thing that should go through that PM's head is, do I want to buy that property? Like, do I want to become a landlord? That's number one. Now, if we don't, then number two is, who wants to buy it? Who do I know that wants to buy it? I bet if any PM took a half day, spent a half day on the phone, just picking up the phone, calling their clients, one of those clients is going to want to buy it. One of them will. And even if none of them do, now you've just reminded a dozen, two dozen clients that you do real estate sales. So when they're ready to buy, when they're ready to sell, now they are going to get on the phone with you and have you be their agent, because we should be the ones closing those deals. They trust us. We already have their property. We know their property. We know their tenants. It should be a slam dunk for us, much easier than it is.
I'm going to go deep on this with you. So we created a program called Investor Pocket Listings. And so what we did is that exact concept we're taking to the next level. So essentially, first we start off with getting letter of intent signed by potential buyer investors. They sign a one-page letter of intent. We understand that it's going to be reduced commissions. We understand that we need to use RentWorks to manage our property, and we want to be on your list. Okay, so that's step one. We've developed the buyers, the investors, ready to go on a list, and they've all signed a letter of intent. Okay, that's step one. Step two is, anyone that wants to sell, they come up on our radar. We contact them. We go through the numbers. We do the whole comparative market analysis. We show them full retail value. If your home was vacant, made ready, perfect, the king and queen are going to move in tomorrow. We show them that value to give them the honest opinion. And then we say, okay, what we're going to do is, we're going to reduce commissions. There's no holding costs. There's no repairs. And so what we're going to do is, we're going to take that $200,000 home, and we can guarantee or get you around $180,000. And those are rough figures, okay? Just everything's going to be home specific. Say that right, Brad. So let's just say we can get to that point where we reduce commissions, reduce the holding costs, and then we take that reduced figure, market that to our investor pocket listing list. And we even created a closed Facebook page for that. Mm-hmm. So our record in the last about 90 days is, we're 3 for 3. All three came up on the market. All three went to several investors that we had on the books already. And they all went in 2 days. 2 days, wow. They're gone. And they stayed in our inventory. They never left our inventory. Again, we reduced our commissions to get the seller to reduce their top line asking price, which made that home attractive to investors. Otherwise, they don't care. They're not going to go to the MLS and buy retail homes. They're investors. They're smart. And a lot of times, all you need is one. You just need one fish. And you find that one fish, and they're going to buy anything you put in front of them because you've done it so many times. And now everybody knows that we are, because we marketed this to everybody. We marketed to our current owners. We told them, hey, you know, any of our multiple property owners. We put it out on several different forums. And so all of our current owners know that we have this program, and they've all had an opportunity to sign up for it. And so they all know that we do sales for investment properties. And that's kind of a nutshell. I mean, I could give a presentation on this, the whole thing, but it's kind of in a synopsis nutshell, investor pocket listings, to capture those homes that, before we're leaving the inventory, right? We would sell it, big deal, you make a commission, who cares? Worst case, they would go to some other client, and then, you know, again, Johnny Remax would sell them, which drives you insane. But this is an opportunity to keep those listings and actually keep them out of the hands of Johnny Remax. Because if you can sell it before the tenant leaves, well, guess what? Now you have a package listing. I forgot to mention all that, is the home still has a tenant in it, right? So we have a tenant, we have actual rent, we have a lease agreement, we have tenant roll. We market that to an incoming investor, and it's just super slick when it works.
That's wonderful.
Three this year so far. I hope to have maybe 5 or 10 a year. But again, the capital value of what we saved, you start adding that up for 4, 5, 10 years. I mean, it gets huge just for a little bit of effort to set that thing up.
Yeah. And we also find that by doing sales, you really don't hurt your marketing to the real estate agent community if you do it well. I know a lot of PMs would say, oh, well, you guys are silly because you're cutting your own throats, because now all these outside agents, they're not going to refer you clients. And I think that's incorrect, as long as you do it properly. So we work with a lot of outside real estate agents, and we are their referral source for property management leads. And I think that's almost like an untapped market for most PM companies to get out there, to really get in with these real estate companies. And, you know, you tell them that you're going to do your best to give the lead back, and you pay the referral fee, do it however you want to do it. But they still need us. They still want to use us. And so I think it's false to say that you're going to lose prospects from real estate companies if you do sales.
And here's how we do that. We do a $555 referral fee. So it's a flat figure. I do not like the percentages. Oh, we give you 20% of, you know, who knows what? 20% of what?
Yeah.
So what we do is a flat figure, $555. And then we have a return client guarantee, meaning that we're going to give that client back to that particular realtor no matter what, no matter where they are. We're going to find them and give them back to them. So that's something you have to put in writing. You got to put it in an agreement. You got to create it. You got to put in flyers. You got to market the heck out of it. But once the real estate community understands that you're not going to poach their leads, they're going to give you referrals.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Hey everyone, this is Allison DeSaro with Seacoast Commerce Bank. You may have heard about us, or you may have even heard my podcast episode with Brad Larson, where we discuss the benefits of banking with property management bank like Seacoast Commerce Bank. We specialize in providing the ideal banking partnership for not only your business, but specifically your trust accounts. In addition, we offer a significant analysis program, which allows us to not only offset your bank fees, but then also offset property management related invoices. You can visit us at our website, or you can call me directly at 619-988-6708.
This is Brad Larson, and I endorse this message.
So I'll just kind of go to my list here. Another thing that has been pretty nice for us that a lot of PM companies deal with anyway, what do you do when somebody walks into your office and they've been renting your property, your house for 6 months, and boyfriend, girlfriend walk in and hey, we're splitting up. Didn't work out. I'm moving out of the state. Can you help us? We don't want to change anything. I just want to get him off the lease and he wants to go. Well, at minimum, that's going to require some paperwork, right? I mean, you've got to do up either a new lease, you do up a lease assignment form, but those things happen on a regular basis. Couples split up, a new roommate gets added, people get married, they get divorced, those things happen. So that process, anything that involves time for your staff, you should be compensated for, I believe. So for example, we have a lease assignment process. Somebody walks in our office and says, you know, just that, we're going to say, no problem. We've got a lease assignment process we can walk you through. And here's kind of the form. Here's the checklist. Fill this out. We're going to go through this. And to complete the process, to complete the assignment of the lease, there's going to be a fee for that process, a lease assignment fee. And it's going to be substantial enough that it's going to be a little bit hurtful for them to pay it. It's got to hurt a little bit, kind of a thing. But that's another one that we get several of those every month. Every single month, we'll get several of those. And that's not something that is built into our lease. Like our lease doesn't address it. Our management agreement doesn't address it. This is like an outside additional. Again, this is an ancillary business service. We don't provide options to walk away from your lease. This would be an exception to the normal process. So when someone wants an exception to the normal process, we'll do our best to accommodate that, but there's going to be costs associated with it. So a lease assignment fee is something that that is pretty significant on an annual basis as well. Do you guys do anything?
We do. We call it early termination, and it's straight out of the Texas Association of Realtors, Texas Real Estate Commission promulgated lease form, which we don't use, but we took the concept out of there. The early termination goes in several different ways. They can pay until we find them a replacement. They have to pay us to advertise a home to find them a replacement. The other thing that we implemented, this is outside of the TREC concept, was we put in basically an early termination flat fee option. So it's kind of like a buyout, and they can come to us and you guys might have the same thing. They basically pay 3 months in advance and buy themselves out. And if there's any left over after all the fees are applied, that we can reapply it back to them. But that way it's a finite deal, because in early terminations, what you're going to find is they have the money to spend from their corporate relocation in a lot of cases. Yep. So let's say somebody from Boeing comes to one of your tenants and says, we want you to move to Washington. And they come to you and say, I got to move. And you say, sorry, sucker, you're in the lease. I got you. Well, they say, well, my company's going to give me 10 grand in relocation. Okay, well, that can be applied to this in an actual, you know, finite, we'll shorten the lease agreement to X amount. You pay us X amount, you know, in this formula calculated, whatever, whatever. And then they can walk away and be done. And then you just release the home.
Yep, we do that exact same thing. Our terminology is a reletting process, mm-hmm. but like a lease buyout. Exactly the same. What I was talking about before, though, that's more of a lease assignment where roommates are splitting. So in that case, we're not terminating a full lease. We're just bringing on a new roommate.
Lease preparation fee. I mean, it's very common. We do exactly. The same thing. A lot of little fees like that add up to big stuff. And the things that we just talked about there, most people are doing, it's the little things that they forget. And that's where we kind of want to hone in on next is maybe talk about some of the little things that people are forgetting. And not like, you know, once a year, $5 fee, but actually something they can, you know, really tangible use.
You know, one thing that the multifamily industry has brought on the last couple of years, because the multifamily industry has been strong, is they do something, a monthly rent processing fee. So we saw this pop up in Denver several years ago. So if someone comes in to sign their lease and, you know, hey, your rent's $1,000 a month. And then in addition to that, you're also going to pay a monthly rent processing fee. And it's minimal, you know, $2-3 per month. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of money until you run the numbers. If you're managing even 100 doors and suddenly you're getting a $3 rent processing fee per door, that just is a nice little shot in the arm there. And there are so many things like that that the multifamily world is very good at doing. But that monthly rent processing fee, so we brought that over. We started doing that. And so many of our tenants are coming out of the multifamily world anyway. So they're used to the way the multifamily world runs business. I always tell PMs, you know, if you want to get a really good idea on additional services you can be offering to see if you're charging appropriately or not, take a day, drive around your town, and go into a couple, ideally, Class A multifamily properties. And just go in there and say that you're looking to rent a property. And you want to find out what their pet fees are, what's their deposit, how does it work, what does their lease look like, and you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked at the things that these folks do and charge. But why do they do it? They don't do it to be greedy. They do it because they run it like a business. They recognize that, hey, I work for an owner, an investor, and he's got to make money. And so they run that thing well. So many of our ideas, and any really other companies' ideas as well, have come right out of the multifamily world. So we try to do that about once every 6 months. I'll drive around and I'll pop into these complexes. I'll ask them what they're doing, what things they have going on, what programs they're offering. And it's, you know, the last one I saw just very recently is they were charging a parking fee now. So if you want a reserved parking space close to your unit or towards the front of the complex, you're going to pay a few bucks for that. And people are lining up to sign that stuff. So it's just breaking down our services a little bit and finding out what people want. But that monthly lease administration, or excuse me, lease rent processing fee is something that again, is a small one, but it adds up.
I got a small one for you. This is, I just learned on the Facebook page that we have, the Property Management Mastermind Group Facebook page. Robert Gilstrap out of Georgia recommended this. So we had a challenge because we're doing two-year lease agreements. Okay. We offer 12 to 24 month lease agreements like most of the market does. We're not unusual there. But on a two-year lease, we're robbed of the opportunity to do a renewal fee. We are robbed of the opportunity of doing a lease preparation fee on the tenant side and one for the owner. And the owners are happy to pay a lease renewal fee. So what we decided to do is just charge it. Just charge it even on a two-year lease agreement. Fully disclose it. Okay. Fully disclose it in the lease agreement, in the screening criteria. That if a two-year lease happens, we're charging it at mid-year, okay, not up front, mid-year after the annual inspection, once a year inspection, that will go ahead and charge a renewal fee on each side. And we can probably also, well, we've done this, I've already put it in the lease agreement, is we could implement an escalation clause in writing. And here's the slicky boy trick. A lot of military folks, and I didn't say a lot, I'm prior, of course, but sometimes they want to come in and sign a two-year lease agreement because they just don't want to leave. They don't want to be kicked out because they're there for 2 years or 3 years. They just don't want to be forced out. They don't care what you charge them. I wouldn't care. Just don't kick me out of the lease. So if you charge me $1,200 and then the next year, okay, it's $1,220 and then the next year, okay, it's $1,240. I get it. The taxes go up. Insurance goes up. Everything happens for a reason. There's escalation stuff going on with the world. Most people won't care, but on a two-year lease agreement, a lot of managers would just kind of forget about it. $1,200, 2 years. Okay. And a lot of owners would say, oh yeah, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Leave it alone at $1,200. And most managers would say, they're going to pay whatever you ask. Just put it in writing and let them lease it for 2 years. Just don't try and kick them out. And that's what we had to kind of change our mindset on that a little bit because we were missing small amounts of revenue just on that particular action.
Yeah, we always build an escalation if we're doing more than a 12-month lease.
Yep. You're smarter than me. That's why. You're smarter than
me. I don't know about that. But and then there's, you know, another whole realm of things that you can provide additional services and charge additional fees for are pets, right? So when someone comes in and they sign a lease with us, one of the things, and we didn't even really talk about this yet, but they're going to pay us a lease administration fee. It's going to be several hundred dollars. But it's a, and again, we got this from the multifamily world, call it a lease preparation fee, you can call it whatever you want, but they're going to pay us a fee for the preparation of the lease. Now, when they have a pet, they're bringing a pet into the process, our time invested in that process just went up a little bit because now we're ensuring that the pet has its its shots, and we get a picture of the pet, and we're going to do a pet addendum, or we're going to be inspecting different things because of the pet. So our time and effort is going up. So therefore, that lease administration fee that we're charging on the front end, if they're bringing a pet in, is going to go up significantly as well. So that's on the front end. That's like on day one, you sign a lease, you're going to give us a pet administration fee, lease administration fee on the front end for that pet. Now, in addition to that,
a lot of folks, sorry to interrupt you there, a lot of folks are actually potentially charging that monthly.
So yes.
You've heard of pet rent. Okay, pet rent is fine. However, that is going to the owner because it's rent. So you can charge your management fees off of the pet rent. Why not do a monthly pet admin fee?
Yes. Or you can do both.
You can do both.
Companies that do both, yeah.
And the concept of what we do is we don't charge up front for that, but we charge monthly because we wanted to lower their barrier of entry to get into the home. So we start tacking on the upfront fees. Yeah, it can be a little challenging. And that goes into one I want to bring up is there's something called a risk mitigation fee. And so this is something that we do. We took it from, again, the multifamily industry. We took it straight from them. Developed this with our credit reporting agency, which is Rent Screener. We use through Dave Borden's product, Rent Screener. And we came up with a synopsis, an outline, that if they didn't meet certain criteria, rather than a double or triple security deposit, which makes their barrier of entry higher, we charge them a small risk mitigation fee that goes to the house. And then we put those tenants in there under a normal lease agreement. So essentially it gets in those marginal tenants that you like. Again, this is all up to you on your final decision on who you're going to rent to and all that. But it lowers the barrier of entry because imagine if you're moving and you have a triple deposit that you're looking at. Okay, because if something happened, you got a divorce or whatever, and you know, bad things happen to good people. Get it? We get it. But instead of the double, triple deposit, which is very difficult, moving truck, everything else you got to go through, you charge them a regular deposit and then a risk mitigation fee, which might be significantly less. And so the barrier to get into that home has been reduced, which is actually good for the owner as well because it allows you to lease the property faster.
That's great. That's great. This is probably a good time to bring up as well that it's important for all PMs to make sure that whatever they're putting in place this way, they're disclosing in their management agreements, right?
Yeah, so that type of stuff's in our management agreement. It's in our lease agreement. So yeah. Definitely not trying to hide it.
Yeah.
It's in our screening criteria. I mean, I'm a full disclosure, transparent believer. That's one of our big five keywords is transparency.
As are we. So if folks are listening to this and they want to go out and start charging these things tomorrow, you need to hit the pause button and get your management agreement updated to allow you to do these things on the front end. Another thing we do on the back end, when somebody's moving out of a property, they're going to be dinged a security deposit disposition cost. And that was one of the things, that's probably the most recent thing we put in place because from my perspective as the business owner, I want to make sure our company is covering all of our costs, right? Anytime I've got to send somebody to do something, it's money that the company is spending on their time. And the one thing I could never quite figure out was a turnover. Because if a tenant moves out of a property, we're going out and now we've got our investment in time, we're doing security deposit walkthroughs, we're doing paperwork, we're at talking to vendors. And there's a lot of work involved. Now, and by the way, we have a maintenance oversight fee. So we're making a spread on the maintenance. That's very lucrative and nice. But for the process of the security deposit disposition. So we built into all of our lease agreements a security deposit disposition fee, and it's not substantial, but it covers a portion of our out-of-pocket expenses to have somebody go out and do all that work. So that's going to come out of their deposit. So if their deposit's $1,000 and we're doing the security deposit disposition, it's just going to show as a charge against their security deposit. And it's right in the lease agreement. And we even put it into all the lease renewals so that over the course of 12 months, we could catch it up on all the back folks that way. But that's been a substantial shot in the arm as well in covering those costs that we incur on turnovers.
I love it. So what we want to do now is you and I could spend all day talking about this stuff. I mean, it could be a 4-hour podcast. We probably wouldn't even scratch the surface because we have just the Good Idea Fairies that blessed us with a lot of different things. But I want you to talk about the conference that you're putting on in late August in Denver. So I want you to give me the full download of what's up with that.
Yeah. So as I said, I travel around a lot. I talk to a lot of different property managers and realtor companies. And what I find is there's kind of four pain points that most companies have. And so what we're doing is we're creating a one-day event in Denver. It's going to be on August 29th, which is a Wednesday. And at this one-day event, we're going to hit these four pain points, these four biggest obstacles that most companies face. And those four obstacles are number one, marketing. How do you get the phone to ring? What kind of things should be on your websites? How should you be pushing things out there? A lot of online type stuff, but how do you improve your marketing? Number one. And so what we're doing for the first 2 hours of this event, so we're going to have Dave Borden, who's with PMW. He does our website, and you know Dave, he's been on your show. He's going to come in and he's going to talk for almost 2 hours on online internet marketing. What things should you be doing to improve your website, to automate your marketing? And that guy's just wicked smart. I mean, he's going to be there. Number two, it's going to be Brad, you. So you're going to be there, Brad, and talking about for an hour on basically how to close the deal, right? I mean, and you're the best at that we know of. That's why you're there to do that. So when Dave makes that phone ring, what does Brad do from the time the phone rings to the signing of the management agreement? How many doors have you picked up this year, Brad?
We are tracking 364 from last year, and we're on pace for 500 this year.
Wow. And you've got to be in the top two or three companies in the U.S. would be my guess.
And it's all organic growth. It's nothing acquired. Yeah, we didn't go out and buy 200 homes. It's all single family, one at a time. But I'm going to jump in and kind of steal some of your thunder. My plans are to talk a lot about the down and dirty of actually going on a listing presentation, business development presentation, what to do preparing for that, what to do at the appointment, what to do after the appointment, and getting the deal done. I mean, all the things that we've learned, all the screw-ups that we've made, I'm going to be putting into that presentation. And that's going to be something I think people will want to understand more, because I get a lot of questions, and you do too, about business development coaching or training. Well, this is business development training. It's not so much what your business development person is doing before the appointment. That's always important. You're going to hear a lot about that from the other side. What to do during the appointment, that's going to be some of the things that we touch on. A lot of people are screaming at me now, like, I don't care, I don't need that because I'm already a salesperson. Okay, I get it, but you're going to have to train somebody to be a salesperson. So the things that are a second nature to you are not to the person you want to bring in to replace yourself.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's great. And then the third person we're going to have is Deb Newell. And Deb runs a property management business, but she also runs a consulting business. So she's going to come in and basically walk everyone through a consultation as if she were in their office doing a one-on-one business consultation for them. So she's going to be talking about systems. She's going to be talking about operations, you know, how to take a half step backwards out of your business, and what things should you be looking at to analyze and improve your business from an operational standpoint. And then I'm going to be wrapping up the day talking a lot about just what you and I were talking about now, profitability. What things should you be doing to improve the income, to make more money in this business? Because we've got to know our numbers, and most of us don't, but we've got to know our numbers, and we've got to be profitable. So I'm going to bring that in to kind of close our day out. So it's going to be a one-day event. It's going to be close to the airport in Denver. We're purposefully keeping this as one day so people can come in and out easy. If they want to make a vacation out of it, they can do that as well. It's going to be a low-key event. You know, very much, we're calling it pulling back the curtain, because we want to pull back the curtain and exactly say how we do business. You know, anytime you want to learn anything, you want to learn from people that are the best. And we're getting the people that are the best at these different aspects of business. So people are invited to this event. If they want to enroll, they can jump on our website, which is Property Management System. It's all spelled out, propertymanagementsystem.org. They can click on the events tab, and it's going to be titled Pulling Back the Curtain. They can register right there. We're keeping it kind of small and intimate. I mean, this is not like some huge, massive event. We want to keep it intimate so we can have conversation. So once we fill up. It's no longer open. But if people are interested, jump on that website. They can learn more about it.
Love it. One-day event. You fly in Tuesday evening, Southwest Direct, Wednesday all day. Fly home Wednesday evening if you got to. It's really easy to get in and out of Denver most of the time, especially in the summer. So good stuff. This has been a tremendous episode, Mark. I'm telling you, we could keep going for hours on this stuff, but want to cut it short a little bit, at least to get everybody kind of an idea of what's going on with this conference. We talked about some of these fee ideas. And I wouldn't consider myself an ancillary business service expert necessarily, because a lot of that is training mindset. And sometimes my mindset is easy to overshadow other mindsets, you know, because I just put that square peg in a round hole and just beat it until it goes in there. So that's the stuff that you can help with during that presentation. I firmly believe in that. So any parting comments to close us out?
Well, if people are interested, you know, one of the products we have is online training about these ancillary business services, which they can see on our website or on your website. That's a product that we offer, just teaching on this and the docs within that. The other thing I would say is this: if folks do this, you know, profitability is such a big deal that I would encourage folks, if you're going to start some new income stream, start a retained earnings account as well. Retained earnings is just kind of a fancy word for savings account, right? As a business, you should have a savings account. If you don't have a savings account right now with something in there as the business owner, you are not being as wise as you should. So if I'm going to give one piece of parting action, call your banker tomorrow. Tell them to open an account and start throwing $100 a month in there. Anybody can afford that. Use some of these fees to build that up because that will do things for you in a longer term perspective that nothing else will. But we've got to be profitable. And part of profitability, part of knowing your numbers, is having a savings account for your business.
Agreed. Well said. Profits equal potentially hiring more staff, improving your services, doing better locations. I mean, just all of the above. If you have more money that you can invest into your business, the better your business will be.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Brad.
Appreciate you coming on. Enjoy. We'll talk soon. This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org. Again, propertymanagementsystem.org. And to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D.
This has been a podcast episode by propertymanagementproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.